Good morning.
Good morning.
Glad you're with us today. We say it every week, or just about every week, and if I forget it, somebody reminds me that I forgot it. And that is that you are not here by mistake today, you're here by design. That no matter why you thought you may have been coming today, I know we have some guests today, and you may think, well, it's just time to go. I want you to know that you're here by design. God did not make any mistakes, and God has a message for you today. Now that message, I'm not arrogant enough to think that that message may come through me. It may not. It may have been come through the worship service. It may become from a corporate gathering of God's people where it says that there's power within that. And the Spirit of God dwells here when we are coming together. And so you may feel that, but whatever the reason you're here, God has a plan. The history, obviously, this morning is deep for those who a number of years ago had the vision to start a church. And those of you who were here back then, we're not going to go into the history because that's just what it is. It's history. And we looked around, those of you who started years ago as we gathered together, as you look around, what you should just do is say, praise God. That's what you should do. To look at where we're at, but it's history. It's looking back and it builds us a faith platform from which we go on, from which we build on. But I don't need to recount for you the history of where we've been and what we've done and how God has blessed and how met the needs and the resources that we have, the desire that we've had, the vision that has been mined over the years as we've grown a church to build a church and to birth a church and then to get in the process of continuing to birth churches, continuing to say, this is where God, we're gonna continue to birth churches in different areas, that we would see the gospel go forth within the process of birthing churches. That the birth of a church, that continuing desire, has never been a desire of the people who started this, nor is it my desire to build a museum. It's not to build an edifice that is somehow remarkable to look at. It's never been to be a museum. In fact, we used to say where a church was a hospital. But you know what? That's even gone because now we're just a zoo. We're not the hospital. We're a zoo. There you go. It's a zoo, and that's what we've become. And as I looked at this day on the calendar, as we look towards this day, on my calendar and on the calendar of our staff, you'll see commissioning day. It's the commissioning day. And I've reflected over that for many weeks, and especially over the last week. What was it to look like? What was this day to look like? And that's when especially I came to the point, it has nothing to do with the past. It has nothing to do with the past. We never commission the past. We don't look to the past. We're thankful for it. We see what God has done, but it's not about the past. And so as you look to the commission that we have, the issue of commission is going and going. That's what the commission is for. As we look at that, our commission, we can easily see that our commission in this process, the commission that we have is to go continually and to continually go. Jesus himself had that commission. Jesus himself had that commission. Luke chapter 19, verse 10, he tells us, for the Son of Man, it's very, very plain, came to seek and to save that which was lost. It's a very straightforward commission that he had. He lived with intent. Everywhere that Jesus went, he went with intent. He did not go just by, okay, I think I'm going to go over in here and have In-N-Out burger. He went with intent. Mark chapter 1, verse 38. He tells us that Jesus replied, let us go somewhere else to the nearby villages so I can preach there also. And that is why I have come. That Jesus said, I come with intent. I come that there's a purpose, that there's a commission that I've got, that the Father has sent me, and I come to seek and to save that which was lost. In John chapter 4, he talks about the fact of going through Samaria, that I have needs to go to Samaria. He says, I'm pulled to Samaria. Why did he want to do that? Why? Because all he did in Samaria, which is quite frankly where nobody would want to go. They weren't people that he wanted even, most people wouldn't want to see. Yet he said, I got to go there. Why? Because he met a woman at the well who had a thirst that she didn't even know she had a thirst for. And he met that thirst. He said, I must go there. I have a need. I'm impelled to go there. He also says at Trump, which we'll look at a little bit later, he says, guys, we need to go across the lake. What? The Sea of Galilee, we're going to cross this? Yes, we need to go. I'm sure they say, okay, I wonder sometimes, you know, there were, you know, 12 guys that he chose 12-ish initially to understand and live the commission that he was mentoring to them, that what was important within them. And since the choosing of the 12, he's chosen each of us as believers, that we have a commission, that he's given us a ministry within that. He says to go, that each of us, that people and you and I, as we sit here today, have a commission to go. Listen to some of these verses. Matthew 28:19, which you know well. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Mark chapter 16, verse 15, he says, he said to them, go into all the world and preach the good news to all creation. Acts chapter 5, verse 20, he says, go, stand in the temple courts, he said, and tell the people the full message of this new life. Now, that's a great verse if you were to go back and study the context of that. They were in prison. They had been in prison. And he just gets released. And the disciples get released. And now he's saying, okay, you know what? You're not going to run and hide. You're not going to go and relax for a little bit because you've been in prison and haven't been well taken care of. He says, no, you don't have any time. There's a commission that we must go. Go back. Stand in the temple courts, which is what got you in the prison in the first place. Go back, he said, and tell the people the full message of this new life. Luke chapter 10, verse 3. Go, I am sending you out like lambs among wolves. And there he commissions them to go out with the understanding that sometimes going isn't easy, that you're going to be out like lambs among the wolves who don't appreciate what you have to say. John 15, verses 16 and 17. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. This is my command, love each other. To go. We have been commissioned to go. It says we have the ministry of reconciliation that God has given to each one of us, not just to Ben, not just to those who are going to Tracy, not just to us who are here. If you are here today in this seat and you bear the name of Christ, he has commissioned you to go. Each of us. It is not about what you've done. It's about what God has called us to do today, this day, this moment, and forever. To bear fruit that will last. To be changed and to be conformed and transformed. And there's the challenge. There's the challenge before us. We have a commission, but within that commission, we have a challenge. And each of us today here must answer that challenge and the call to that challenge. Ministry, going, isn't always pretty. It's not always exciting. It's not always easy. In fact, it is usually messy. And if you're going to minister and you're going to do anything for the kingdom of God, it's usually messy. It involves sacrifice. You cannot be selfish. Because if you are selfish, you can forget serving God. It will not happen. If it's about you and how you feel about things, it's never going to last. We serve out of love. We serve because he's commissioned us and strengthened us to do so. I don't think a person who has a selfish streak can take ministry seriously. I just don't think they can do it. Because ministry equals serving. And serving flies in the face of being selfish. Ministry, going, is uncomfortable. It's inconvenient. And yes, sometimes it's even dangerous. We today here, we don't know much about that danger. Some of you do. Just because you try to be the salt and the light to where you work, and that may put you in places of danger. Maybe not danger physically, but maybe danger of your job. Maybe in danger of what people may think of you. But around the world, folks, there are people who are serving God, who are ministering for God, and it is dangerous to them. And we need to understand that ministry at times takes that. But it always demands, ministry demands that we step out of that comfort zone, that complacent zone, and lay aside perhaps even the good things for the cause of Christ. You say, well, it's a good thing. It may be good, but it doesn't accomplish in the kingdom of God anything of eternal value. Anything. I heard a stat today, this week, and I know statistics can say anything, and I wouldn't build around it, but 60%, as they survey believers, 60% who claim to know Christ, 60% feel there is no need to share the gospel of Christ with anyone. You've missed the commission that God has given us. You've missed the commission and the challenge that God has given us, that he's given us that ministry of reconciliation so that we can show the reconciliation of Christ. Are we working? Are we doing anything for that cause of Christ? In the book of Mark, there's a story. It's too long to actually put on the screen. You can write it down. It actually starts in Mark chapter 4, and it's when Jesus is saying, he said, we're going to go to the other side of the sea, and he's going to calm the storm, but he said, let us go. We're going to the other side. We're leaving. Yeah, there's people around here. We've done great things, but we're going to the other side of the lake. And they say, why do we want to go there? And if you study the context of the guests, you know, that's not a great place to go. They don't like, they don't really hang out together, the people groups. Culturally, it's different. But he goes. He said, they went across the lake to the region of the Gerasenes. And when Jesus got out of a boat, a man with a demonic spirit, he came running at him. And he was, as he was running at him, I'm sure, I wonder what the people in the boat were thinking. I wonder what the people who were watching were thinking, because there were people watching all this take place. And Jesus, as this man, this demonic man came and fell down with Jesus, and Jesus cast out the demons that were within him. And if you remember the story, he cast them into a herd of pigs, over 2,000 of them. And then the pigs ran down and drowned themselves. I wonder what Jesus saw versus what we saw. When they came, when that man came running, I wonder if we would have said, uh-oh, danger, danger, Will Robinson, danger, back up, get back in the boat, row fast, where's the wind? I wonder if we'd have seen a danger. I wonder if we would have seen the issue of uh-oh, this is ugly, it's going to go bad, it's going to get inconvenient real quick here. And all of that may have been truth, but I think what Jesus saw was opportunity. In the midst of a very bad, potentially bad situation, a man who had tried to have been bound, and the people of the village had tried to bind him, and he could just break the chains, and they couldn't control him, run around naked and being crazy. And one of these people thought, uh-oh, what's going to happen now? And Jesus really delivered the man and set him free. In the process, there was a run on pork. I believe Jesus saw the opportunity. And how many of us, when we look at situations, do we live in that dangerous wonder of God, of looking at the opportunity? We're birthing the church. And many of you have asked me, well, what if it fails? It's never entered my mind. It just doesn't. I guess it should. Maybe you're saying, well, you're not very, you know, you're not counting the cost. No, I count the cost. Counting the cost doesn't mean we have all the answers. Counting the cost knows that how much we need to depend upon God to meet those needs. Our resources will not determine our vision. Our vision will determine the resources that God must supply, of which he has supplied. If you'll just look around you today, there are those who can verify the history of God's supplying. And the challenge to live within that. Now, there was opposition. Would you not think of that? You know, the opposition comes from those who are comfortable. Let me just tell you that. 36 years of doing ministry. The opposition in every church that I've been in has come from those who are comfortable, who don't want to be forced to change, who look at the status quo and say, what? No more donuts? Don't change. See, they were used to the madman running around. Those people got used to that. In fact, they may have sold tickets. Hey, go watch the madman here. 2 denarii there. Go watch this guy. And now they lost their pigs, among all that. See, opposition is to be expected. And you would say, yes, opposition is probably to be expected. The question is, are you the opposition? That's the question today. Are you the opposition? You wouldn't think that the people who watched this man be freed, who watched this man have a life, would be opposed to the life that he had. But they were more concerned with the pigs than they were with this man being set free. And the dollar that jingled in their pockets from their pigs were more important than the life of a person. Are you the opposition when it comes to the issue of, I don't want to be taken from that which is status quo, that is comfortable, and it may be even good, but don't change me, don't ask me to change. And yet, if you are a believer today, if you know the Lord Jesus, we've said it, I say it often, that if you claim to know Christ, if you bear Christ, you are in a life of change. It is part and parcel to it. It is endemic to it. You can't get away from it. We are to be changing every day. We are to be changing. Interesting thought here that I thought was interesting, because the man that he freed came back to him and said, Jesus, you've changed my life. I want to go. I want to go with you. What did Jesus say? No. What did he say? Go home, Brother Don. He said, go home. Go home. I said, whoa, whoa, wait. That's not the story. That doesn't fit, man. God changed his life. Jesus healed him. He said, let's go. Get in the boat. We're going to row, baby. I'm going to go with you. I'm going to be the... people are going to pay to hear my testimony of how God delivered me. And Jesus said, no, I don't want you to come with me. Go home. But Jesus, do you understand? That's the opposition. Go home. Do you understand? They're not going to believe that I've... Go home. You go home. The commission was to go home and tell those around you, your sphere of influence, your work, you people who know your family, you tell them of the grace of God. You tell them of the healing and freedom that you have received from God. You don't need to go with me. You need to go home. I thought today especially, you know, this is not a commission to the Church Universal. It's not a commission. We thought about having people going to Tracy and Ben and all the staff and the band that are going to Tracy stand up here. And I thought, you know, it's not a commission to that. It really isn't a commission Sunday of the church, of the Universal Church. It's not a commission to the Tracy Church. It's not a commission to the staff and people who are going to Tracy. It's not a commission to the Lathrop Church. It's not a commission to this church who are saying, okay, we need to renew, we need to rebuild. It's none of that. This is a commission to you and I individually. It's a commission to each of us, no matter where we find ourselves. You and I are the church. This is a personal commission. It's not a corporate commission. It's a personal commission. It's living with intentional impact. It's living with that. This message, going. And some of you are going to sit here and be able to say, gone. Oh, but Pastor Bill, I did it once. I was there. I lived in that wonder of knowing God. I lived in that service of seeing him work every day. I've been there. It was great, but I'm old. Or, you know what, man, my job's just gotten too busy. Or things have happened and I'm mad. Life sucks and I just don't like it. And so we just turn around and say, that was what I used to do, but I'm not doing it now. The fire and the passion that I had, well, it's gone. Some of you will say, going later. Oh, God, I just don't want to give up this right now. It may be really great. It may not be a bad thing, but that very good thing may not be allowing you to live in the wonder of knowing God and to live every day with intentional living, intentional impact, to impact your sphere of influence, to go home as that man was, and to live Jesus to those people. And some of you will say, well, I really want to get involved. I really want to serve. I really want to minister. I really want to be that salt and light to the world. I want to be that minister of reconciliation, but can I just do it later? Right now, I got the highest value of making money, and I got to do it while the iron's hot. Right now is the time in our family, man, we can get all the things we want, and I got to do that. I got to get the boat and the trailer and the car and this, because right now my earning potential is the greatest. When I get all that, then I'll do it. But you won't have the time because you have to take care of all that stuff. Later, God. Some of you today will be saying, going nowhere. No challenge. No change. No intentional living. No wonder of God. Perhaps you've not become comfortable, but you've become very complacent. You're not asking God on a daily basis, say, God, man, make me today. Make me your instrument today in somebody's life. Let me plant a seed in somebody's life. Let me water the seed in somebody else's life. Let me live with intentional impact, to intentional live, to see the kingdom of God established. Some of you today are here and you're feeling like your life is going nowhere. Let me tell you where it needs to go. It doesn't need to be going, gone. It doesn't need to be going later. It doesn't need to be going nowhere. It needs to be going right now. Right now. No more excuses. No more waiting. No more pettiness of, well, you know, I don't really like organized religion. I don't either. We're not organized, can't you tell? I mean, the whole point of that, no more safety net, no more political correctness, no more sitting out there saying, God, I just don't know if we can do this, to step out and say, God, I'm going to trust you. I'm going to trust you, and I'm going to say, God, use my life. We're not talking about in the grand and glorious ways. I'm talking about in a personal way with the people that you meet with every day, where the priority of our life is living with intentional impact for the cause of Christ, not for the cause of Amway, not for the cause of Mary Kay, not for the cause of selling a car, not for the cause of anything, but people would come to know Jesus. And he came to seek and to save, and he's given that commission to us to be his vehicle to do that. We are not commissioning the church. We're not commissioning a church. God already done that. It's been done. Jesus said he's going to build a church. The rock's going to be upon him. I don't need to commission a church. We already know that that's the plan of God to reach the world. Us, the church. Us, the people. We are committing. The commission is commit individually to the commission of reaching people, impacting and influencing our culture. Kingdom living. I'm telling you what, those of you who tasted it, I believe there's nothing better than living in the wonder of knowing God. There's nothing better. There's nothing better than living, than living and saying, God, I want to be used by you. And God, bring those opportunities in my life to where I can be used by you. And you start to see, the wonder of God in small ways being displayed in people's life. And some of you are here because of that. Some of you are here because you've seen the wonder of God displayed in people's lives. And it draws you like a magnet to say, God, I want what they have. I want that. And what it is that is what you have. This isn't really about those who are going to Tracy. And this really isn't about those who are staying in Lathrop. It's not about either of those campuses. It's about each of us today determining whether you be a student, the up-and-comer young adult, or the senior. It's about each of us living with intentional impact. Each of us. Wherever God has us. It is a personal commission. It's a personal challenge. And the question is, what will you do with it? That's the question of the day. Today, this commissioning isn't about looking back at how God's blessed us, because we can see that. That's obvious. Come on, look around. It's not about commissioning just a group of people who are going. No, it's about, God, I want you to commission me to understand that I need to be living with intentional impact to impact my sphere of influence. I'm going to let the pettiness go, the problems go. I'm going to practice grace and forgiveness. We want to see you work through us. And when the world sees us living, loving each other, and living for him, that is what will draw people to himself. When we lift him up, God leads, we follow. God leads, we follow. The question is, it, that statement, is it a question in your life or a statement? God leads, we follow. Question or affirmation? If God leads you today, will you follow? Or you say, God, I hang on. Maybe later. God leads. We follow. Today is not about the birth of another church. The commissioning today is the birth or the rebirth in every one of us to be living with intentional impact. That we will see that God has called us to live with impact. To share him, to show him, and to love. And that's the question or the statement in your life today. You will walk out of this door either saying, God, you're going to lead and I'm going to follow, or you're going to walk out here saying, God, you lead, but do you really want me to follow? Let's pray. Father, my heart is full today. You've done a great work. God, I pray we will never rest in the work that you've done, but that we will anticipate and live with intention the work that is yet to be done. And that, God, you would help us never to become spectators of that, but that we would be participants within that. God, that you would help us to see that you have called each of us to live with intentionality, the intentional impact of our life. God, there may be those who are here today who've, maybe they've been detoured from that. Oh, maybe good things that have taken them away, but they've missed living with impact and intent. God, I pray that today it'll be a statement and not a question and not a caveat, but God, you lead, we will follow. Whether that be in Tracy and we're there, whether it be in Lathrop here, but it's more so wherever we go as an individual, whether we go to our jobs tomorrow, whatever we do, wherever we're working and living our neighborhood, that God, you will lead and we will follow. We will listen to your spirit prompting us to serve you. That we will get out of our complacency and that we will jump in with both feet and saying, God, use me. Stretch me, change me. God, I am thankful as I look across this crowd of what you've done. But it's not the crowd. It's the individual lives that I see reflected here. Many of the stories that I know. Of their lives that have been changed. And the opportunity that they have if they would just tell their story. If they would just share, just like the man who was made free from those demons. If he would just go home and tell of what has been done. May we leave this place going home and telling of what you've done. God, you lead, we will follow. In your Son's name we pray, who makes it all possible.